Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for, what is it, 21 August 2023. Let me tone down the calm there. On radio, I mean. All right, where was I? That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you are unfamiliar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause briefly for stations to disconnect from the conference if they don't want to hang around for the net or if they have priority traffic to interrupt us. So back in about 15 seconds. I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the Met Control Operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. And my SDF username is JWH. So those are the four items of information that we like every check-in to provide if they apply. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour GMT, UTC, Zulu, however you want to describe it, on Echolink node 9229, known as the TechLink Conference. And we would like to thank Michael, the E6UX, for making this conference available to us for our weekly net. We'd like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussion. And let me reset the timer because I think I might run long here. So, just recently, there is a new ham in on SDF that hangs out in COM. If I've got this right, he passed his tech exam in January of this year and upgraded to general in March, and he's looking forward to upgrading to extra like any day now. And he did not ask me for advice, but if he had, I would have suggested that that was a bad idea and that he shouldn't do it. So this whole subject of the extra class license is it's kind of a can of worms. It used to be that it was like climbing Mount Everest. It was so hard to get that those guys who did get it stood out as being phenomenal, extraordinary amateur radio operators. But the changes that the FCC has made over the last two or three decades have made it so easy to reach that pinnacle that it is almost meaningless now. And you know, even worse than, you know, I mean, if you meet somebody on the air who's got a 1x2 call sign, you know, from my day, you know, you expected that you were talking to somebody who really knew his stuff. But nowadays, that could be a teenager who's only had a license for 6 months. So you cannot make that kind of assumption anymore. And probably you never could have in the past, but it was a good heuristic. And the advice that I was giving to this new fella is that it's a bad idea for him in particular because he's a new ham, and he should be experiencing, well, the new ham experience. He should be subscribing to, you know, joining the ARRL and reading the QST magazine, joining his local club, meeting his local hams, talking to local hams on the repeater with his HT, whatever kind of cheap radio he starts out with, and finding an Elmer, maybe more than one Elmer if he's lucky, and learning and growing in the hobby and all, you know, the whole nine yards. And by going from tech to general in 3 months and then to extra in 6 or 7 months, he's kind of short-circuiting that whole learning process. And now, when people meet him and see that he's an extra, I mean, the new hams are probably going to start asking him questions that he is incapable of answering. And the old-timers will look at him and see, oh, he's got an extra license, but he's only been a ham for 6 months. And they will probably, you know, they'll either assume that he's a genius and knows everything and they don't need to give him advice, or they might think even worse that he's some kind of like 90-day wonder and they don't want anything to do with him. So anyhow, we'll see if this guy goes ahead and, see, I thought I was going to time it out. So we'll see if he actually goes ahead with taking the extra exam. But I thought I would mention this and see if anybody else has some ideas about this. I realize that this is something that probably only a North American would relate to, but, you know, you guys in Australia, I don't know what it's like down there. Maybe you have a similar phenomenon with the licensing down there. So, that's our topic this week. Now, let me look at the dashboard here, and I think I actually chased somebody away. Well, yeah, Michael was in there, but he said he had to reboot. Okay, so I think he'll be back. But everybody I see on the dashboard are regulars here. There's really only three of them in there right now. So I don't think I need to explain how we do check-ins here. So I'm going to run down the list. I see BK3HJQ, N6TW, N4RNW, and that's it. BK6UX should be back any moment now. So let's start going down the list there, starting with the BK3HJQ.
Oh, okay. I thought the list had N4RNW first. Anyway, Harold, doesn't matter. All right, all good. BK3HJQ. Yeah, no, it's too easy to get a license now, especially in Australia. You just get a couple of cornflakes packets. You get the tokens out. You send the tokens out, and they send you a free license way. Well, not a free one. It costs $56 or $54. Anyway, they're going to can that hopefully next year, and we're going to swap over to a class license, and I'm going to be like CBers then. Ha! We'll have a CB call sign. But I don't knock anybody for... I mean, we have the same class as what you guys are. I mean, you have... what do you guys have? Technician, extra class, which is the top one. What's the intermediate one called? General, I think. Is that what it's called? We have foundation, standard, and advanced. It used to be five or six licenses in Australia. But the problem is all the tech's gone out of it. It's multiple guests to get a license now. You go do a two-day course at the radio club. You go Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you got your license. That's how simple it is to get a license. There's just no technical aptitude required anymore. It's just absolutely hopeless. And that's why so many people, I hear so many people asking really, really silly questions which they should know the answer to, like simple stuff about SWR and simple stuff about antennas, which is really basic stuff. They know absolutely nothing about, but they have a what they call a full call license here in Australia. So to answer your question, Wayne, yeah, with time comes knowledge. I think that's the bottom line. BK3HJQ.
Yeah, the extra class license here in the United States, if I recall correctly, 25 years ago, it was pretty hard to get. You had to have held an amateur license for like 10 or 20 years before they would even consider you. And you had to be able to send and receive Morse code at 20 words per minute. And 13 words per minute was a big barrier for a lot of hams trying to make the general license. So, and then the exam itself, it wasn't this multiple choice stuff that we have nowadays. They would ask you to draw the schematic diagram of like a Hartley-Colpitts oscillator. And you would have to be able to do that freehand right there in front of the examiner. It's very different. And nowadays we have teenagers who go in one exam session, they take all three exams, pass all three of them, and they walk out with an extra class license with zero ham experience. And that just doesn't seem right. Anyway, that's my rant. Let's see, who's next? Oh, and by the way, sometimes I do my list here in the reverse order. I try to sort of make the list up as people pop into the dashboard, but sometimes that gets out of sequence, and it's all messed up. So anyway, N4RNW's turn is right now.
Well, good deal. Hello, Wayne, in the U.S., and everybody... Reg out there and everybody in Australia and Canada. N4RNW in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers. Harold here. Nothing new. I really don't have a comment on the going to advanced and extra class. I'm a general myself, and that's about it. It's a soggy day down here in Southwest Florida, so back to you, Wayne. I'll be listening. N4RNW.
You mentioned an interesting point there. They don't give out advanced class licenses anymore. So those guys who already have one, who might be tempted to upgrade to extra, they actually have a motivation not to do that, because if you have an advanced class license, that means you're like an old school extra class ham. I think the requirements for the advanced and the extra, I think the difference is that advanced, you only needed the 13 word per minute Morse code. But the written exam for advanced was the same as the written exam for extra. So an advanced class ham is really an old school extra class ham who just couldn't quite make the Morse code thing. So, which puts them, you know, head and shoulders above all the guys who are passing the extra exam today. Anyway, let's move along. This is Michael's not back yet, so let's go with N6TW.
This is N6TW, Noah and Livermore, STF handle NPE. So Wayne, fun fact, I'm actually one of your three testers. So I never held a technician or a general, and I never had one of those call signs. So I started directly at extra. Yes, I agree with you that essentially to get an extra today, all you really have to do is memorize. So, and I've actually thought quite a bit about this because I tend to be a tryhard, and so I don't think that I am as much of a paper tester as some, but I am interesting in that I am sort of a novice extra, so I play a lot on 10 meters to get my technician experience and things like that. I'm very into 10-10. But at the same time, I do feel the responsibility to actually be an extra and to know all the technical details and read the antenna book and all that sort of thing. What I would really like to introduce into ham radio is to formalize the mentoring component. So to actually get your ham license, you have to show practical skills on the air. So have something like a learner's permit where you pass the paper test, and then to get your provisional call sign, you have to actually pass a practical test that shows your operating skills and that you know how not to be a bad operator. I hope that makes sense. N6TW, over.
Well, that makes perfect sense. The answer is in the details of how it's done. And, unfortunately, well, let me back up and say, I hope you didn't think that I was talking about you when I started this rant, because you strike me as being an exception to the trends that I was worried about. You take this very seriously, or you're very conscientious about it, and I want to respect that. The other thing is, I had two or three things there. I think that maybe something as simple as saying that you have to hold a technician license for, say, 6 months or a year before you're allowed to take the general exam, and then you have to have your general license for, say, another 6 months or a year before you're allowed to take the extra exam. I think that would go a long way toward helping to alleviate these issues that I'm complaining about. And that's something that's just an administrative thing. It wouldn't involve, you know, what you're talking about is, you know, practical testing. I mean, you're kind of talking about having maybe like an oral exam before a review board. So you're going to need volunteers to staff the review board. You're going to need people to come up with the kind of questions that you're going to ask. And that's really just a whole can of worms there. And just putting in a delay, I think, is something simple that can go a long way. So I'm not putting down your idea. I'm just saying that there are a lot of questions about how to implement that. And the way government and the FCC has been going, I don't think they're going to love the idea of having to administer something like that. Even the VEC, I think, will probably not be enthusiastic about it. So, before I time out, who's next on my list? Well, let me pass it back to Noah and see if he wants to comment.
No, so I wasn't insulted at all, Wayne. I just thought it was funny because I did have my own misgivings. I was pretty proud of myself for knocking all three out at once. But I did feel a certain, like, yeah, this is sort of cheating. Like, I can't do CW. I don't have a lot of practical experience on the air. I think that time limits don't necessarily help, because a lot of the issues that I've seen with new hams that burn out is that they don't necessarily have the practical applications and the supportive community. One of the big issues that I see in a lot of clubs is that they're sort of old boys clubs that have that want you to be perfect before they let you in. And so rather than mentoring someone into a good ham, they expect you to be perfect when you come in. And so I think that formalizing the mentorship aspect the way they do sort of in the Boy Scouts would be something that I would really appreciate. So maybe have it as a sort of a vouching mechanic, where you have a VE that feels qualified to say, okay, this person has actually achieved the competencies both on paper and in practice. And I think that maybe that sort of thing would both keep people in the hobby, because it would encourage mentors to strongly interact with new blood, at the same time while keeping the people that aren't necessarily in it for the right reasons or don't want to put in the work to actually do it right out. I hope that makes sense. N60W over.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't have any way to shoot that down except to say that the actual implementation of it might be difficult. I can see like diploma mill, you know, a ham that's willing to recommend and vouch for anybody, maybe for some kind of, you know, compensation. But perhaps within the context of the VEC system, you know, I think they have the kind of ethical standards that would combat that. So I think that's an interesting approach, and perhaps combined with a time limit would it really improve things. So let me acknowledge that I see that BK6BQQ has rejoined us. So, Reg, do you want to check in? Have you been listening enough to know what we're talking about?
AB9FJ in the group, BK6BQQ. Well, I was just spending some time over in Hamilton, Ontario, with our folks, and I'm sorry I haven't paid attention to what you have here, but sounds good, whatever it is. Back to you, Wayne, AB9FJ, and the group, BK6BQQ.
Okay, well, I think in a nutshell, I was on a rant about it's just too darn easy to make it from zero to extra here in the United States. The exams are so simple that a monkey could memorize the answers. And that has bad effects all around. It's bad for the ham who makes it, because that means that everyone will look at him and see that he's got an extra class license and assumes that he pretty much knows what he needs to know. And they won't give him advice, and instead they'll ask him for advice, which he's not prepared to give. So that's bad for the ham. And it's bad for the other hams because, well, you know, this guy might be giving bad advice, and people would be assuming that he knows what he's talking about and, you know, acting on bad advice. That's not good. So anyway, I just think that it's not been a good thing for the hobby, and wish that there was a fix for it. Anyway, let me pass it back to you there, Reg, to see if you have any ideas about that.
Well, I'm not really following what is going on here, but I know I'm just sitting back here. Golly, it's 21 years that I've been doing this net on our Friday night situation, but I notice a lot of different hams coming and going, so I'm not quite following what you've got on the plate here, but I'll listen out, and hopefully I'll be able to say something one way or the other.
Well, I think you were a ham back in the 90s. And maybe even earlier than that, in the 80s. And in those days, it was pretty darn hard to make extra class license in the United States. You had to know the Morse code, like 20 words per minute. to send and receive. You had to pass a difficult written exam. It wasn't this multiple choice stuff we have nowadays. And I think that there was a time requirement that you had to have held a license for some number of years before they would even bother giving you the exam. So that meant that anyone who actually achieved an extra class license was somebody special, and you would look up to them and respect them and, you know, ask them for advice and heed their advice. But nowadays, it's so easy to memorize the correct answers to the multiple choice exam that someone who really knows absolutely nothing about ham radio can pass the exam and get the license. So the extra class license and the 1x2 and 2x1 call signs that often go with them are no longer the mark of expertise that it used to be. So let me pass it back to you there, Reg, if you have any comments.
Oh, AB9FJ, VK60QQ, yeah, that was it. Exactly, in a nutshell. You know, it's not like it used to be, that's for sure. And there's very few hams out there that really know what they're doing. You know, somebody to be on a repeater and actually know what's going on with a repeater, that is a definite challenge. Yes, it's not like it used to be, for sure.
Okay, so it's probably not the best topic of the week we've ever had, but it was what occurred to me as I was getting ready for the net, so I'm running with it. Let's see, do we have any new stations on the dashboard here? Yes, okay, AD0QM just popped up. In fact, he's probably still listening to the welcome message. So I'm going to drag my feet here for a few seconds before I welcome him and reprise this week's topic. So I'm kind of doing the Jeopardy theme music while they do the final Jeopardy there. And, okay, so AD0QM, Jeff, the topic this week has been my rant about the extra class license here in the United States. And you are an extra class licensee. You can tell an extra class licensee because we've got these 2x3, well, not necessarily 2x3, because they're... We got a 2x2 call sign. That's the thing. Like the 1x2s and the 2x1s, the 2x2s are restricted to extra class license holders. So anyway, what I've been ranting about today is that it's so darn easy to get an extra class license that it's practically meaningless now. It used to be that when you met somebody who was an extra class licensee, you knew that he probably knew his stuff, and you could trust what he said, take his advice, ask him questions, yada, yada, yada. But anymore, not so much. You have to really, you know, like, get to know him and find out, does he really know, or is he just kind of faking it? So anyway, that's what our topic is this week, is the extra class exam meaningful as far as reputation and so forth anymore? So, AD0QM, Jeff, you have the floor if you're ready.
Good evening, this is AD0QM, Jeff, over here in Minnesota. Nope, there's not really a need to get it these days. You get a little extra spectrum. Mostly the reason I got it for me was just to sort of fill that out. I'm also VE, so it helps for doing testing for everybody else. But nope, otherwise, if you get your general, you got most of it covered. AD0QM, NetQ, NetControl.
Right, and that brings up the ham who I was talking about in the beginning. It seemed that one of the things that he was looking forward to after getting his extra class license was working CW in those extra class only parts of the HF band. Now, as far as I know, he's not really active on using CW on the parts of the band that he's already allowed to use as a general class licensee. So I'm thinking that he's kind of, he sees this as some kind of prize, and I don't think he's going to find it to be that much of a prize when he actually gets it. So, but the other things about achieving an extra class license is that you do are able to give the exam to people who are upgrading to general. You have to be like one license level ahead or equal to, in other words, if you're a volunteer examiner, if you're an extra class licensee, then you can give tech, general, and an extra class written tests to examinees. If you only have a general class license, you can only give the tech or general license exams to new examinees. You can't give the extra exam. So that's one good reason for maybe prematurely or, you know, being in a hurry to get your extra class license, is so that you can do that kind of volunteer work. But I think that's a small element. Maybe you live in a community that does not have enough VE people, and I can see it there. But yeah, anyway, I'm rambling. Let's see. We've got some new call signs on here. We've got the Ham Conference joining us, so I'm going to have to rewind. I see VK2ZFG. That call sign sounds vaguely familiar. Maybe he's checked in before. I see Kilo Bravo 2 Tango, which I do not recognize. The Max. Okay, get that. So, let me reset the timer. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for 21 August 2023. Now, SDF, Sierra Delta Foxtrot, it stands for Super Dimension Fortress. It's an anime reference, but the main thing you need to know is that it's a public access Unix system, and you can register and get yourself a free shell account. You can set up a website or a blog, or you can do all kinds of neat stuff on a Unix-based system for free. And, well, you know, there are a few things that you pay extra for, but they're worth it. So to learn more, direct your web browser to sdf.org. Again, that's Sierra Delta Foxtrot.org to learn all about it. And I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. And my SDF username is JWH. We like to have a topic of the week, and this week's topic, I've been ranting about how the extra class license is just too darn easy to get in the United States. And it hurts the hobby, and it hurts the new hams who think that passing that third exam means that they know everything. Or, you know, it might give them a little attitude. So that's what we've been talking about. If you have some opinions along those lines, they're welcome there. So I've already acknowledged VK2ZFG and Kilo Bravo 2 Tango. And at this point, let me ask for anyone who is on the Ham Conference listening to us who want to check in to come now with your call sign. And I can take more than one at a time, so you don't have to wait for each one to be acknowledged.
VK2DY.
I've got you, Robert. Anyone else?
This is Kilo Bravo 2 Tango Slant 6. Jean Rodolphe in San Diego, California, observing the storm coming over us from Mexico.
Okay, I've got you, John Rudolph. Anyone else on the Ham Conference? Okay, nothing hurts, so I'll start going down the list here, starting with Victor Kilo 2 Zulu Foxtrot Golf.
Victor Kilo 2 Zulu Golf, Zulu Foxtrot Golf, sorry, transmitting here from a sunny Sydney, Australia. And this is my first time on ever, so just recently got my foundation license over here and transmitting for the first time.
Okay, well, welcome to the hobby, Max. Welcome to this particular net. We do this every week at the same time, 0 GMT, you're among other down under folks, Aussies and Kiwis, who join us pretty regularly. Actually, I haven't seen any Kiwis lately, so it's only been Aussies. Anyhow, thank you for joining us this week. Next on my list, let's go to VK2DY.
Good morning, 10:32 a.m. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee in northwestern Sydney. Having a little bit of spring weather here. I think it's about 16 degrees, supposed to hit 22 today. So not too bad. Sun is shining. Sky is blue. My neighbor has a lot of things in bloom. So when I walk out the front door, I get a big whiff of flowers. It's quite pleasant, actually. I do like this time of year. Hard to say with the licensing. We have the same thing. We have three license levels. I guess they will be classes after February next year when we switch from apparatus to class-based licensing. I guess they will be license classes. But at the moment, they're just levels, advanced, standard, and foundation. You take an exam to get to each of those. We do not have a public question pool. We do not have any way for people to get the questions beforehand. And so I think that does add difficulty. When you get to advanced, you have to know stuff, I guess is basically it. You can't just sit down and memorize the answers. So I think in a way maybe that's what the U.S. should do is make it leave the question pools for the two lower levels and don't reveal the question pools for the extra. I think that that would make some sense, sort of a hybrid of what we do. Anyway, thank you so much for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to me.
I agree with you there. I think that would be a good approach. When I took the exams, I bought the AWOL license preparation book, and what it does is it exposits the science behind the question so that you kind of understood and you could be hit with a different question but asking the same concept and you would be able to answer it because you knew the concept, not just the question and answer. And so when there were other Elmers who were coaching young people or even older people who were, approaching ham radio for the first time, the advice often given to them would be to download the question pool and go through and delete all the wrong answers out of the document so that all they had was the question and the correct answer. And the strategy was to just read that file over and over again until your memory just associated that the correct answer with the question for pretty much all the questions in the pool. Then when you went to take the test and they took, a random sample of questions from the pool, all you had to do was remember, if you don't recognize the answer as something that you've seen before, you know it's the wrong answer. So you just had to find one out of those four answers that sounds familiar, and that's probably the correct answer. Now, I thought that was crap. I hated that. But I was kind of convinced that the technician license in particular is a learner's permit. That if you pass the technician exam, that gives you permission to get on the radio and start operating and learn how to be a ham. And so I came around to the idea, okay, I can swallow that reluctantly, but okay. But then when it comes to general and extra, that does not apply. So, all right, I'm really ranting a lot today. Let me see. Are there any? I see a VK2, Mike Romeo Tango has joined us. So that's a new call sign that I have not seen before. So let me reset the timer and say that this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, stands for Super Dimension Fortress. It's some kind of reference to anime. I don't understand that part. But the part that I do understand is that it's a public access Unix system. You can register, get yourself your own account for free, and do all kinds of neat stuff, and learn all kinds of Unix-y things, and meet a lot of people. A lot of hams hang out on SDF. That's why we have our own amateur radio club. So that's sdf.org, Sierra Delta Foxtrot.org. Go there, learn about it, sign up, and join us. So, let's see. I've got two calls. Kilo Bravo 2 Tango, you were here. I think you kind of gave everything there, but let me pass it back to you to see if you have anything to add.
This is KB2T San Diego, California, returning. Very kind of you. Thank you. I was with UNET early in June, maybe the first time, and I'm very honored and grateful, and it's also rewarding to hear the accents from Australia and down there. I'm a born Swiss citizen and American for 40 years. I have my Echolink here and then a QRP, little transceiver Kiego G90, just bought, and then with the long wire down the high riser I am, and make some contacts with that. I agree with you about extra class. I got my real extra class with 25 signs, words per minute at that time in New York, did all the licensing. I was trained in the Swiss Army, so it was a great thing. I'm surprised on that note. I'm surprised how many people still do CW on 20 meters. In the morning here, I hear Australia, I hear Japan and America, and also younger people having fun with CW, which is rewarding. So, and always glad and happy to hear your net. I shall be in Europe in 2 weeks and check in from Europe, from everywhere, Italy, Switzerland, Greece, Germany, and see how you're doing. Grateful to be accepted here with you, and thank you for the connection. This is Kilo Bravo to Tango, returning to the net.
Okay, well, thank you for checking in with us, Sean Rudolph. Yes, I didn't recognize your call sign. I can check my logs, though, to see when you checked in before. So, yeah, you're always welcome. Every week at 0 GMT, we do this net on Echolink Node 9229. Thank you for joining us. Next on my list is VK2 Mike Romeo Tango. Oh, wait, he seems to have dropped out. Okay, so, all right, let's see. Do I have anyone else? I don't see any other stations. Wait a minute, what's... No, so anyway, is there anyone who's listening who would like to check in?
VE3, KPW.
Okay, that sounded like Victor Echo 3, Kilo Papa Whiskey.
Victor Echo, Juliet Papa
with... Okay, VE3JPW. I think you... I hope you heard the last time I did the opening of the net here. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club weekly net. And we've been... The topic this week has been, is the extra class exam in the United States just too darn easy to get? And does that have bad effects on the hobby and on the new hams? So do you have any comments? Or, I mean, we'd like to know your name and your location, and if you have an SDF username, we'd like to know that as well.
My name is John Juliet, Oscar Hotel November. I live in Toronto during the summers and Kingston during the school year. I'll be relocating there in another week or so. You know, my feeling as far as any of the different licensing levels is concerned is that, you know, if we could offer the license courses in high school, I mean, it helps to keep the sport alive, again, in high school, colleges, anything. So anyone that gets any license, anyone we can take that enjoys it and gets an interest, I welcome them into the hobby, and we need more people and more diversity.
Okay, sorry, folks, my pencil disintegrated on me here, and I'm looking for the pieces on the floor and not finding them. Anyway, okay, thank you, John. Welcome to our net. I think this is your first time here, so we do this every week at the same time. 0 GMT on Mondays. I'm still a little flustered about my pencil, my mechanical pencil disintegrating on me here. Makes it kind of hard to keep the log going. I see that VK2MRT is back. So VK2MRT, would you like to check in now with your name, your QTH, and if you have an SDF username?
Hi there, my name is Sham. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I'm a recent amateur radio operator, just got my foundation license, and this is my first contact. Over.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome to the hobby, and I hope you enjoy it and have lots of fun with it. We've been talking today about about new hams who go straight from like foundation up to advanced in one fell swoop, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for the hams or for the hobby. So, you haven't been around here long enough, I guess, to form an opinion on that. So welcome to the net, and come back next week if you want. I've been ignoring the chat over there. I see that John has been talking there, and he has a question or a comment. John, why don't you be a VK3HJQ? Go ahead.
Yeah, Wayne, here's a good question for you, VK3HJQ. Do you reckon I'd make a good mentor or Elmer Fudd. Yeah, would I make a good mentor, do you think?
You put me on the spot. That's a good question. I'm not sure I know you well enough to give a good answer to that question. Sorry, I'm ducking you.
Well, I thought you were going to say yes, but I was just trying to prove a point. My license when I got it 28 years ago is equivalent to the current foundation license. So from what you're saying is that a foundation license person has no knowledge? Well, there you go. I've got a lot. So it doesn't mean because you've got a level of class license you didn't want to go to the other level, although we automatically got upgraded to standard license, which they shouldn't have done, because we didn't have anything different. So I've got the basic license that you could get when you first got amateur ready, which is, I mean, my license is coming up for 28 years in November, and I bet you I know a lot more than what full call licenses do in Australia. So class of license doesn't mean anything, got nothing to do with your knowledge base, Wayne.
Well, I pretty much agree with you that the person who's a new ham who just got a license, it could be a teenager who doesn't know anything about radio, or it could be a PhD electrical engineer who knows way more than most hams know. So just because they have a low level of license doesn't mean that they're stupid. But by the same token, it used to be that if they had a high level of license, that you could assume that they were knowledgeable. But that's no longer the case. So now you have to beware. The top class of license is not a sign of expertise. That's it.
Yeah, from VK3HJQ. Well, I mean, you're only going to get two words come out of somebody's mouth you can soon work out. Some people might be a radio technician and decide they want to go for the full call. And some people have no idea about ham radio and don't want to know anything about it and just want to play with a black box. Well, that's fine too. So, horses for courses, but we welcome everybody, regardless of class of life. And like the two new guys this morning, I mean, back in the early days, an M and a Z call would be a limited, because we had, I think, five license classes back then. Of course, now you can get whatever call you like, other than a two-letter call like Robert's got, which means you've got an advanced license. But you can have every other letter and every in the alphabet now, and you don't know who's who anymore. You can even have a different state number. I mean, I can be a VK3 for Victoria and live in Tasmania or Northern Territory and still use my same call sign. So, it doesn't really make any difference. We're becoming CBEARS, and that's what's going to happen next year. We'll all be Charlie Baker operators again, and I love it because that's where I started. Thanks, Wayne. VK3HJQ.
All right. Well, thanks for your comments, John. Do we have anyone else with who wants to chime in? Okay, well, we're coming up on 49 minutes after the hour, so this is a longer than average net this week. And gosh, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 check-ins so far, which is also above average. So what I thought was going to be a rather dull net with a rather lame topic has worked out all right. Okay, so let's see, I'm going to make this final call before I wrap up the net. If you have not checked in and want to, or if you think of something that you want to add to the conversation, please call now. All right, nothing heard. So, let's see, where's my script here? I need to scroll down. I probably should mention that we're always looking for new net control volunteers, so if you think you want to give it a try, drop me some email, jwh@scf.org, or ab9fj@arrl.net, and we'll set up a time for you to try it out, see if you like it. Also, if you are not already aware of it, the club has its own website, sdfarc.org, and you can go there and find out how to sign up for our mailing list and get It's a very low volume mailing list, usually only maybe two or three messages per week. And keep in touch with what's going on here. After every net, I go in and put in a summary of, you know, who checked in, what we talked about, yada, yada, yada. So you can, you know, keep up with what we're doing. So I think that's everything. This concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. Let's call it 0051 Zulu. Yeah, my tempo no longer works. Okay, so if you would like to continue the conversation, well, we used to have this DMR talk group, 31650, but I don't think it's working these days. Give it a try if you want to. But you can get on SDF and go into the COM chat program and enter the Anon radio room, and some of us are already in there to continue chatting in with the keyboard. All right, so this is Net Control Station, AB9FJ, saying 73.